What's going on, my beautiful people? We are here another Thursday. You know what that means. Another great day inside the Black Actors Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce, and joining me today is an incredibly talented actor, photographer, and writer. You know him very well as Ronnie from the Showtime's The Chi. Don't move a muscle.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome. It's Thursday inside of Black Actors Studio. Thank you for joining us here. I have an incredible guest today. You've seen him in The Nick, Treme, Lethal Weapon, as I mentioned before on The Chi. He's an awesome human being and very talented as well. The Black Actor Actor Studio is very proud to welcome Natare Guma Mbaho Mwine.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, man. How are you?
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for including me on the show.
My pleasure. Yeah. My pleasure. I'm so happy I can say the name, and I feel confident when I say it.
You said it brought you back to your roots to make you
feel
more...
Yeah, it does.
Okay, great.
It really does. I'm like, okay, love it. I can say this now. And I love what you're wearing. Talk a little bit about that.
I have a friend who's called Bia Apparel.
Okay.
Who made this for me, and so I'm sporting his
work. Nice.
If you look him up, Bia Apparel on Instagram.
Bia Apparel?
Abia. A-B-I-A-H.
Okay, nice. That's dope. I might have to look at that and give you some of that.
Yeah, I'll look you up.
Yeah. For sure. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for the generous introduction.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. My pleasure. It's well received and much deserved, I should say. Mm. So I do have to commend you on your performance in The Chi.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Amazing. I'm from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I am.
So well, that means even more because, you know, what you ultimately want is for someone from Chicago to feel like,
right,
it speaks to them.
Yeah,
because you
want to
start from there, and then hopefully it resonates elsewhere.
So right. Yeah,
that means the world to me.
Oh, of course. And then we're going to talk a lot more about that later on. But first, I like to start off in the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in Hanover, New Hampshire, at Dartmouth College. My dad was taking his final exam from his undergrad.
Really?
And he was given the option to either postpone the exam because they knew he was having his baby,
uh-huh,
or, you know, get it done, and, you know, so he said, I want to get it all over with now. So I was born when he was taking his last exam, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay, wow. And so how was that dynamic in the house with your family? Do you have a close family? Or?
Yeah, we went from Hanover, New Hampshire to Cambridge, Massachusetts, because my dad was just finishing at Dartmouth and was starting up at Harvard Law School. Mm. So we were in Cambridge. I spent my formative years in Cambridge, Mass.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history over there, Cambridge,
yes,
right?
Yeah, there is. There is a lot. And it was a really unique period of time, you know, and I think Barack, President Obama's father was there at the time. There was a lot of African immigrants who were coming in at the time. And my dad was the first Ugandan to graduate from Harvard Law.
Wow.
And I think they were bringing in, I think Obama's dad was one of the first Kenyans as well.
Yeah.
So that was a really unique time when Harvard was opening its doors and reaching out.
That's awesome.
To people across the continent.
Right, right. That's amazing. And so how was your relationship with your mom?
My mom was great. I was just in Uganda less than 2 weeks ago with her.
Yeah, I think I saw it on your Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'll probably be back in about a week and a half.
Okay.
To go spend a little more time with her between our filming of season 3 and 2. I'm grateful to have her, to have been able to spend Mother's Day with her.
That's amazing. Yeah. So she's still over there. Do you have you have siblings as well?
I have 3 siblings, two brothers and a sister, who are all in the States.
Okay.
But all of my extended family is in Uganda.
In Uganda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Teach me a word. They speak Swahili over there, right?
They speak Swahili.
Okay.
But mi apana jua Swahili. It means I don't speak Swahili very well.
Oh, okay. Mi apana Swahili. Okay.
But Runyankore, which is my parents' mother tongue, was my first language.
Wow, okay.
I grew up speaking Runyankore, and then my parents sent me to daycare, like the first week of daycare. The kid, the teachers were like, this kid doesn't speak English.
So, it's like, oh.
So my parents actually stopped speaking Runyankore to me at that point because they realized I didn't know English because in the household we only spoke Runyankore.
Right.
And they split when I was about 7. So my my Runyan Kore is about the level of like a 5-year-old.
Oh, okay.
I can just get by. But the more I'm at home, the more it's really
you go
comes back
into it. Yeah. Wow. So I mean, it's great to have you in here too, because you know we talk about Inside the Black Actors Studio in Hollywood and the diversity and the path that Hollywood's going. You know, right now it's amazing. We're seeing a lot more people of color in front and behind the camera. And so, you know, sometimes you have that disconnect of, like, you know, the black community and the African roots. Mm-hmm. And so just touch a little bit on that, especially because you have, like, the roots there and then you can hear as well and the shy, you know, and all that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, there's like it's the glass half empty or half full, because you look back into the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marcus Garvey, there was a whole sort of repatriation.
Right.
So I think it's really, it depends on like if you're optimist or pessimist or half empty, half full perspective, because there's been a direct connection to the motherland, whether people embrace it or not.
Right.
Or
right.
Whether people find pride in it or shame in it.
Mm.
And I think we're at a really interesting point now, because for the first time, one of the highest grossing movies in the industry was an African superhero movie.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
it's crazy, right?
It's baffling to think that hadn't happened. And it's incredible to see, to have witnessed it, because I don't think people actually expected that necessarily.
Right.
And now there's like, I think, a series of other projects that have come on,
mm-hmm.
that come along in those heels to try to replicate that,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully I'll be able to get it.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah, for sure, right? I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Did you have any nicknames growing up?
I did not have any.
Really?
I didn't really have any nicknames. I mean, people would, if they couldn't pronounce Ntare, it might be Atari. But.
That's like a game console, right? Atari?
Yeah. But it didn't really stick.
Okay.
So my folks instilled a great deal of pride in me, because Ntare is the name of a king of Ankole.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, my father's line, is connected to the royal family. And we go back like to the 1500s. You can trace our family tree back
that far. Amazing.
And so I was always instilled with a pride about the name. And so I've always insisted on, you know, even now when I'm doing my work, people are like, do you have to use your full name? And I was like, well, you know, why
I like that.
Embrace it. And, you know, and no diss to folks who sort of abbreviate or change, but I just feel like I wanted to embrace my ancestry and my roots and my full being. And
Right.
So move forward with that. And if it helps others who pronounce it
right.
feel even more connected to the motherland, then I'm doing greater things
right.
than just, you know, carrying my name, but helping others feel.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to get this down. So talk a little bit about your name, too, because every part has a meaning that I've noticed.
Ntare means lion.
Mm-hmm.
Guma means be strong. Mbaho means I am. And Mwine means I have God.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's hard to like kind of dismiss one of those.
Right. Exactly. You got to either
am I going to get around I have God, or am I going to get rid of be strong?
Right. You can't choose between those. Right. So how was schooling for you growing up? And did you have any like TV shows or movies or actors that you really looked up to? Or
yeah, when growing up, it wasn't so much, I wasn't drawn to TV and mm-hmm. actors. It was more musicians.
Oh, okay.
You know, like everyone, I think my age, wanted to be in the Jackson 5 when you were a kid, you know, because those guys were the...
Even I wanted to be in Jackson 5.
And, you know, Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Commodores or, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire, I think had more of an impact on me as a kid than any TV show or acting, you know, actors did on my life.
Gotcha.
And even now, I think, even when I was like in grad school or, you know, anytime I'm working on a role, it's usually been through music that I feel more of a connection than I watch other actors or,
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like music has been, Duke Ellington said, music is his mistress.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I feel like music in a way has been sort of like my mistress in a way, in terms of that's been sort of like the place where I go to get the fix.
Nice.
You know, creative fix.
Right. It's a, what is that? a language, a world language that, you know, everyone can relate to.
Universal language.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I was like, what is the word I'm looking for? And so did you, when you started getting into acting, that was in on the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
And you went to...
I went to University of Virginia for undergrad.
Uh-huh.
And studied also at the Royal National Theatre in London, and went to NYU for grad school, and then we also studied at the Moscow Arts Theatre in Russia.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, yeah, someone who hated school, I felt like I was really, like, went through all the schools I could possibly go through.
what really just turned you on about performing?
That's a good question. I don't know that... turning on is there's like a I think it's like a magnet that something that I just was drawn to that pulled me without me being aware, you know,
right.
Seeing that that's what I wanted to go through, just like something that sort of
the calling.
It was like, yeah, I don't want it to sound too mystical or whatever.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
no,
it was more like, it wasn't something where I was like, I'm going to be an actor.
Right.
I'm going to be like, yeah.
Right.
It was just like, all of a sudden I found myself like auditioning for something that I never thought I would, like a third grade Peter Pan production. I was like, it was like an out of body experience because I found myself doing something that I wasn't thinking I would be doing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And in a similar way, even like the show, or even with Ronnie playing Ronnie, it was like it was something I was terrified about doing in the beginning and didn't think I was right for. But it's something that was like a challenge that sort of drew me in, and I figured out how to maneuver. But it wasn't like turned me on. If anything, it was like there was a fearful of the the idea, but somehow.
Yeah, you just went and just jumped into it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing, though. Is there, I mean, first off, I do want to touch on your voice, because you have a very distinctive voice. was your voice always like that, or is this as age? Or?
I don't know. No, when I was in grad school, I remember we had a voice teacher, and they sent me to an ear, nose, throat specialist.
Really?
They're like, something's up. Like, maybe there's some nodes in your throat. We got to go test. And so I went, and they did all this stuff. They're like, your voice is fine.
It's wow.
Like, there's nothing.
I mean, because it fits the character of Ronnie. Like, it just does. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a very distinctive voice. And I think, like, you know, like some, I guess, like Samuel Jackson or like Danny Glover, they have those voices like, okay, that's them. Like, you definitely have a distinctive, like.
Oh, wow. Cool. Thank
so,
you.
So, oh, yeah, of course. I guess thank him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, how was it preparing for the role of Ronnie? Because I've seen that you had mentioned that you were actually going to be the police.
I'd auditioned for the guard.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they test you for Ronnie. So speak a little bit about that.
Well, actually, I went in for Ronnie.
Uh-huh.
Reluctantly, because I didn't think I could pull it off. And the casting director Carmen Cuba had cast me in the show The Nick for a role that I thought, you know, I could do in my sleep.
Right.
And then when this came across on my table, I was like, huh? How did she see me doing this? And I literally just went in to say thank you for casting me in The Nick, because that's given, I've gotten a few straight offers from that. And then she said, oh, I just saw you in Queen of Katwe. You were incredible in Queen of Katwe. And I was like, but how is the Queen of Katwe role even close to Ronnie?
Mm-hmm.
Or even the role I played in the... So I just did a sort of lackluster audition. She's like, did you read the script? I was like, I hadn't really had a chance to finish the script because I was working on Lethal Weapon the day of the audition, I think.
Okay.
And before I got to my car, I got a call from my manager, Lisa Gallant, and she was like, she thinks you're right for the role, but doesn't want to submit the tape that you did.
Mm.
So she'd like you to self-tape. And I never did the self-tape.
Wow.
I was like, they're just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just BSing me.
Yeah.
Eventually I did it, and I ended up going through four different auditions, each one sort of in disbelief. And then at the fourth one, they said, oh, we'd like to actually test you for the detective.
Okay.
Have you come and read for the detective? And I thought, oh, I could totally nail the detective. I've played detectives before.
Yeah.
So I could totally nail that. And I went in and they said they wanted to test me. And then the last minute they changed it and they said, no, they want to test you for Ronnie.
Wow.
And I was actually disappointed.
Really?
Because I was like, I thought I had a better chance at getting the detective.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And I thought I didn't have a chance of getting Ronnie.
Right.
And now I'm here telling you the story, which is just surreal.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and speak on that too, because we do have, you know, there's quite a few aspiring actors watching this and stuff, and we can get in our heads a lot, you know, especially talk ourselves out of roles and audition situations. So what's one thing that you really learned from that process?
I've said this before, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself again a bunch of times, but sometimes when you let go of expectations, you can experience the divine. So sometimes if you get out of your way,
yeah,
you can discover something new in another way.
Right.
And so for me, that's exactly what this experience was about, because I sort of had expectations of what the character should be or what I could do, and was basically shortchanging myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, you start to shortchange yourself because you've been shortchanged as well.
That's true.
Been given certain things that you could do. Your sort of certain type of roles that you do, and you sort of get used to that being your wheelhouse or comfort zone. But ultimately, as an artist, you want to do things that challenge yourself and scare yourself and grow in ways that, you know, would surprise yourself in
ways.
And so for me, Ronnie, and being a part of this show, I think has not only challenged and surprised me, but I think a lot of people who were used to seeing me in a certain light.
True.
I did the show Tremé for 4 years, and I remember one of the executive producers was working on another show, Bosch, and there was a character of a detective that I wanted to play the part of, but he was so used to me in the role of Jacques on Tremé that he didn't think I could play the detective. And I was like, no, I can totally play it. So it was interesting, like, you know, because some people see you in a certain role,
and
it's hard for them to see you in something else.
Right.
So
that's so true. How was being on this set of Tremé different from, like, because that was kind of like some your earlier work, right? And so, I mean, you've grown as an actor since then, I'm sure. And so what are the differences, like, on set?
And that was an incredible show. I mean, the person I was talking about, Eric Overmeyer, who I'm still in touch with today, like, I text him back and forth. And he's, like, one of the most prolific people in television. And it's like a saint. I look at him as like a saint because he was an incredible soul, just a person to be around. And he had such a love for New Orleans, and the show was created out of his love for New Orleans. And I feel like there's a sort of similarity in terms of The Chi, because the creator for The Chi has a similar love for Chicago.
Yeah.
In the same way. So it was really a gift to be able to work on something that someone is like a passion project.
Passion
of theirs.
Project, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
How was it being on the set of Lethal Weapon and working with like Damon Wayans and all that? Like,
Damon was so easygoing and approachable, and it was like, you know, between takes we'd be sitting there chatting it up, and I was like, I can't believe I'm here chatting it up with Damon Wayans. And he was just down to earth. I remember I was sitting out on, like, it was between takes, and like I was sitting out like on some deck or something. He came out, just like, hey, welcome to the show. And he was so easygoing and approachable. Nice. And I remember Get Out was just coming out, and we were talking about Get Out because the trailer had come out. He's like, I don't get it. Is it supposed to be a, you know, a horror film? Is it a comedy? And I was like, I find it both.
Right. So, exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
So how did you feel like when he left the show? Because he wanted to go back to like doing comedy and stand up and things like that.
Yeah,
so.
It's a grueling schedule.
Yeah.
And first the schedule is grueling, but not just the schedule, but the physical demands of the show are also grueling as well. So I can understand how he might want to try to do other stuff that's, you know, that feels better with
I know it was shocked a lot of people though, because they were just like, especially people who were just hooked on that show, they expected him, you know, to do that. Who was someone that you've worked with thus far that really just had an impact on you?
That's a great question. I feel really lucky to have worked with, you know, some of the people who are the best and brightest in their field, from David Simon to Eric Overmeyer to now I'm blanking on her. Soderbergh, for example, he's another person I'm still in touch with. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've been a fly on the wall for some of the most creative forces working in the small screen or big screen. Mm-hmm. And I feel really blessed to have, it's not been the actors, it's been really more the creators. And right. so I feel like really fortunate to have gotten a window inside their world. And what I've discovered really, part of that was that it's not, we kind of look at, we have this sort of messianic view of there's one person who's leading the charge.
Pulling the screen,
But like, David Simon has like an army of folks that he's working with who've been on the same productions moving forward.
Right.
Soderbergh also has an army of folks that he's working with. And so you realize that it's just, it's, this is one of the most collaborative art forms.
Right.
And although they have a unique vision, they also have a pool of talent that runs deep that they run with. That's that's their pack.
Right.
So that's also inspiring because, you know, for me, I feel like I'm still aligning my team because I also have visions of creating other projects of my own, too.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll definitely want to talk on that a little later. When you moved to L.A., what are some of the challenges that you met, like getting into the industry and, you know, because obviously the L.A. vibe here is different than any other place in the country. So what are some of the things you went to?
Well, I came from, I had done, my first gig in Chicago was playing the lead role at a play at the Steppenwolf Theater. Mm. And I remember that person I beat out for the role, like, was like a month later, I was like, hey, I'm starring on this TV show. And I was, and I was like, oh, great. And I was happy for them and was thrilled to be starring in the show at the Steppenwolf. Then I was doing a play at Lincoln Center as well, and it was the same thing. Oh, I got this movie, the person I beat out. And I was like, oh, that's great. But I was still, like, struggling. Like, you know, when you do theater in New York, it's you're just scraping by.
Yeah.
Although, even though you could be starring in a show at the Public Theater. Or so I decided to come out to L.A. to do more film and TV work. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you know, it was a challenge just to transition from having lead roles in Lincoln Center or Steppenwolf or, you know, or at the Public Theater. Like, there was a, L.A. folks weren't really interested in the theater credits as much.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I felt like it was almost like starting over again in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while to sort of get my footing and get the ball rolling. Yeah.
Right. What are some of the things that you did to, like, to network and get yourself out there?
Well, I'm also a photographer, and I love being behind the camera as much as I do in front of it. And I would exhibit my own work. Mm-hmm. And I would have gallery exhibitions at, like, local hole-in-the-wall galleries or places like the Hammer Museum. And a lot of folks were starting to know me as a photographer. They're an actor. And I talked about once, like, how I was hired to photograph the head of HBO's kid's birthday party, Chris Albrecht's birthday party. And it was like a bowling birthday party.
Really?
And I was literally like getting shots that kids throwing there or whatever. And but then at the same time standing right next to the president of HBO.
Right.
But I didn't tell him I'm an actor or that I had my MFA from NYU or that I'd been starring in the public show at Lincoln Center or at Steppenwolf. I just did my job, took the photos. In that time, it was still film. It wasn't digital. And did it. And I just, I guess, I remember some friends were like, you didn't tell him that you're, you know, you're an actor? And I was like, I was just kind of like focused on what you were doing. And that was it.
Right.
So that was, you know, I used my own creativity to try to survive. And so, you know, the photography was a way to do it. I'd make tables, like light box tables. And
really?
Sell them. And yeah, so all sorts of hit and miss things.
So, I mean, you use your talents in all facets.
I think that's the curse of being an artist. Like, you're forced to create regardless of what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. And, you know what I mean? What are some of the things you do to prepare yourself for an audition? Because auditions obviously can be very nerve-wracking to a lot of people.
Yeah, it depends on what the project is. Because some stuff that's close to you, it feels like it's a piece of cake that rolls off your back.
Right.
There's other stuff that's much more difficult, and you go in just like hoping it gets over quickly.
Right.
And then now we live in a day and age where you have to tape yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to make your own self-tape.
Right.
So the hardest thing about self-tape is that you have to look at it before you submit it. And so
true.
So I find myself agonizing over stuff that, you know, sometimes it would have been done and, you know, done quickly if you'd just gone in and done it.
Yeah.
But the great thing about the self-tape is that you have to watch it, and you probably, you know, will do it over and over again until you feel good about
comfortable,
it.
Comfortable, yeah, enough to send it, yeah.
So it's a, there's pros and cons. For example, what happened with A Shy?
Mm-hmm.
If the casting director wasn't as great as she is and said, I want to give you another shot, and just relied on the tape that she made, I wouldn't be here talking to you possibly.
Right,
but she thought I could do a better job if I, you know, under the right circumstances, given my time.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me that opportunity. And I must have done 100 takes of that audition.
Wow.
Because I was like, I had kept going over and over until I felt like least embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
And then submitted that. So if you ever have the opportunity to self-tape, embrace it, because it's a rare opportunity that you get.
Right.
And to direct and edit.
To direct and edit, yeah, exactly. And I feel like a lot of auditions are, I mean, there are a lot more auditions going that way, mm-hmm. just because it's, I mean, not only easier for, you know, the casting director and all that, but also, like, you can see a lot more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I do enjoy self-tape sometimes. Because it's like,
do you self-tape?
I do self-tape quite a bit, actually. And at first it was kind of like, you know, one of those things where I'm like, because, you know, you want to be perfect and all that. But then after a while it becomes a little bit more calming. Mm-hmm. And, you know what, you learn a lot more about yourself that route.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about the audition, because the audition scene was actually on from season 2. Right?
The audition for season 1.
Season 1.
Yeah, because we hadn't shot.
The scene, no, I'm sorry. This. Yeah, you haven't shot it. I meant season 1, sorry. That scene was a particularly hard scene, though.
One of the audition scenes was when Ronnie is talking to Dead Kooky. He's mm-hmm. high on whatever it is, and he's talking to the hallucination of the kid that he shot.
Yes.
So I had no idea, like, how do you play that?
It's right.
Like, you know, I think of Robert Townsend, you know, the movie where he's playing the junkie. Like,
oh, yeah,
you know, what was he's like, man, I killed my brother. You know, so I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be, you know, you could go too, it was too easy to be able to play it where it almost become a caricature.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, how do you ground it, and how do you make it, you know, at the same time, otherworldly?
Because
it was a sort of otherworldly moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's inebriated. So how do you portray that as well without making it seem like, you know, he's just like, you know, a junkie or... So it was challenging, exactly. It's like,
right.
Man, I just need another. I just didn't know how to play it.
Yeah.
And so I had a friend of mine, Kevin Carroll, who's a wonderful actor, who also auditioned for the part. Mm. So when I came to my third or fourth callback, I was like, "You didn't get a callback?" He's like, "No, man." I was like, "How's that?" And so he helped me work on it. He goes, "Oh." It's like, you were just playing it much simpler than I was.
Mm.
He was like, he said he was doing it bigger. And, you know, it was really interesting that, you know, I hadn't thought about, like, you know, the different scopes of colors that could be brought to it. But he was like, oh, you were playing it much simpler and keeping it much smaller.
Right. Like, right. And more relatable, I'm sure, as well. I mean, obviously from the scene we saw. Yeah, it was an incredible scene, by the way. Are there any, like, challenges or personal demons that sometime bring up or come up through this journey in this industry?
Yeah, of course.
Being the industry it is.
I think one of the examples is this show, this process, because, you know, I was basically shooting myself in the foot.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I had always wanted to do something that's going to challenge me and stretch me in ways that, you know, I could never imagine. And then when it presented itself, I was like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
in the end, you know, I became my own obstacle.
Right.
But of course, there's other obstacles that you'll face that you're not in the industry that you're, you know, that are external. And there's some that are internal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The ones that are internal, you have more control over. But the external ones, you know, sometimes have to be like, you know, try to go with the flow.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're in a great relationship, right?
Yes.
With your girlfriend.
Oh, married. I got I've gotten married since. If you're talking about the show, Wendy Williams.
Oh,
Wendy Williams called me up.
I did see that.
Yes.
Yes.
Wendy
Williams
called me up for not being married at the time.
Yes.
And since then I've
proposed and got married, all that stuff. When was that?
Last October in Chicago.
Congrats. Oh, in Chicago,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where was it in Chicago?
We got married. We went to City Hall. We just did
just
kept it simple.
Nice and simple, yeah. Right? Thought it was his simple ways. I love it. Simple goes far, guys.
Yeah.
Simple goes far.
Simplicity is a virtue.
Right. Yes. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So how has everything been since then?
It's been great. We just had our second child, who was born a month ago.
Wow.
Macheo, Nkuba, Coltrane, Mwine.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's the significance of that name?
Macheo means sunrise.
Okay.
Nkuba is the name of the second king of Ankole from the 1500s. Coltrane is one of my favorite musicians, John Coltrane.
Wow, okay.
Mwine is my last name.
Your last name, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it. Sometimes you know, it makes you look at your name and you're like, it's not quite meaningful. No.
And my daughter, actually was born February 13th, and I got the offer for the Shy on the 14th.
Wow!
Like, in the hospital, I got a call from my reps saying,
"That's incredible. That's amazing."
So my world transformed in ways that I'm still digesting,
right?
You know, and will for years to come.
Right.
A lot of people might start associating me with Ronnie, and my world changed becoming a father for the first time. Like, to have those things happen within the same 24-hour period, it's like, you wonder, like, I don't believe in sort of this cosmology, but like the stars aligning. I think it just seems too coincidental that something like that significant happened
for sure
in that 24-hour period.
For sure.
And my daughter is named Imanzi Eko Mwini, and Imanzi means one who is fearless.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. How was it being on being with Wendy Williams? Did she call you out so much? was it a good show?
I think she had online. You can check it out. But yeah. She's a hoot.
A hoot.
She asked me. She's like, "Do you like to party?" I think, and I was like,
"Oh, really?"
I'm usually the designated driver.
Okay, that's good. I'll remember that. I'll call you up. No. So how's it working with, you know, Common? I mean, I've been a huge fan for so long, obviously, in Chicago. And then Lena, how is just being in that creative zone of theirs?
Well, I feel really lucky to have been, had scenes and been like face-to-face with Common. And he's one of the coolest people. Like, he's really multifaceted, multi-talented, at the same time so grounded and down to earth.
Mm.
And he just came out with this great book, Let Love Have the Last Word.
Yeah.
Which I've been reading. I was actually listening to on the way over here.
Nice.
And I feel really blessed because this show is anchored with Chicago creatives. And for me, being an outsider, to come in to have someone like that to be able to play tennis with, so to speak, my game sort of felt like elevated. He helped lift me up ways that I couldn't have done without him. You know? So I feel really lucky that, you know, to have worked with him and gotten connected with him and been face to face, and we still keep in touch as well. And so I feel really, really blessed.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And who, if you had a choice to be on any TV show right now, what TV show would that be?
Well, I I'm not going to shoot the hand that feeds me. I feel really lucky to be a part of the Shy.
Well, yeah, for sure.
And I'm really excited about it.
The next season. Did you get the script and all that yet?
For season 3?
Yeah.
No.
Not yet.
I haven't got the script for season 3, but I did meet with the creatives for season 3, and they are as excited about the show as ever before, or more excited about it.
Okay.
So I think, you know, we have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
But I really feel, you know, really lucky to be a part of it, because there's nothing quite like it.
Right. There is nothing really quite like it at all.
So I'm thrilled to be a part of it, and hopefully it'll continue running for years to come.
Yes.
But just to try not to avoid answering your question, I did watch the latest season of Black Mirror last night.
Oh, okay.
And, man, if I could be on Black Mirror.
Why not?
That would be a dream, because I love sort of mind-bending
definitely.
Work. Yeah.
Okay, for sure. I want to take a moment just to thank you again for joining us on Inside the Black Actors Studio. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And thank you also to AfterBuzz TV and Black Hollywood Live. Love you guys. Thank you for allowing me to bring these awesome guests into the studio every week. And so I have some fun questions for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So if you had the opportunity to work with any actor, who would it be?
Donald Glover.
Nice.
Yeah, no question.
And why?
Man, do you have to ask why?
I mean, for obvious reasons, but is there a specific reason?
I think he's one of the most creative forces out there, and actually I got to meet him at an HBO party years ago before the show had dropped, before Atlanta had dropped. I think it was just coming out. And there was no entourage around him. He was just hanging out by himself, and I just went up and said hello and introduced myself. And then from that on, he just skyrocketed.
Right.
But he's just really grounded, down to earth, no pomp and circumstance. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he seems like chill, but he's creating really the most radical work at the same time.
Right.
You know, there's some people who are like a fly in the wall, kind of.
Right, that's what I was
saying. He seems kind of like that. He's not like the peacock that's sort of parading around, mm-hmm. trying to show off their talents. He's just kind of behind the scenes, pounding out incredible work in so many different mediums.
Right,
yeah.
So, his work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to boast
about it. He doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. Yeah. And so what's one of your favorite words?
One of my favorite words... I guess now, right now, it's my son's name, Cuba.
Okay, I'll give you that one. Okay. That's a good one.
It's still fresh, so it's new.
A month ago, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so what is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word, I guess, would be no for right now. But my daughter's saying no.
Had
to find creative ways to, you know, do the Matrix move on the no and get her to do what she needs to do.
No, no. Yeah, exactly. Even before you say anything, it's no.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. What's something that turns you on, that gets you really going?
I think one of the greatest things for me is obstacles.
Mm.
Yeah. Finding an obstacle that seems insurmountable.
Mm.
I'm usually the one who finds, I don't try to shy away. I try to find creative ways to get around it. I think that's one of the most exciting things for me.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. What's something that turns you off?
I guess one of the things that would turn me off is fear and self-loathing.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll have to put it on myself rather than putting on an external, because
then
it's something I can control. I can talk about all the externals that I don't like or turn me off, but, you know, I'll focus on myself for right now and answer the question.
I mean, that's a good thing to focus on.
Yeah.
What's your favorite craft meal?
Craft
service, from craft service.
Oh, from craft services. I usually get some sort of, trail mix.
Simple.
Yeah.
There you go, guys. There you go again.
Coconut water and trail mix is that's all I'll live off of, yeah.
Nice, mm-hmm. Okay. What's a sound or noise that you love?
Coltrane, Love Supreme.
Mm.
I was just That's why also my son's name, Coltrane.
Right, right. Yeah. Coltrane. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything or Coltrane.
Yeah.
What's the sound or noise you hate?
Sound or noise I hate? That's a good question. I haven't thought about.
I was going to say crying might be pretty soon.
Crying is up there. But no, crying is like is just a form of communication.
Right,
so
exactly.
I try to think about that. Like, right. You know, they're crying because they're not hungry. I mean, they're hungry or they're tired or it's the alarm bell. But yeah, that hasn't got to me yet. I don't know if there's a sound that turns me off yet. I guess it could be a tone in someone's voice sometimes.
No, really? Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes a tone can speak more than the words.
True. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
What's without necessarily saying the whole thing, you can just say the first word. What's your favorite cuss word, if you have one?
I actually don't. I don't know that I cuss that much because now I'm like trying to make sure that around my kids.
Right. Right.
I don't know the last. I don't know if I have a favorite cuss word. kind of boring in that way.
Okay, no, I'll let you slide for that one. If there's one thing you had an opportunity to do, travel, whatever it may be, and you could do it tomorrow, what would it be?
I might do it tomorrow. I might go to Uganda and go with my camera in tow and shoot some footage for a project that I've been working on shooting myself.
Okay.
But yeah, I love, as I was saying, being behind the lens.
Yeah, yeah.
And being on the road. And those are two of like things where I feel at peace.
Mm.
I remember I was in Uganda like shooting some project, part of this footage when we were in a national park and we were able to go on this game walk. We were able to walk through the national park.
Nice.
And some people were, can be scary because you're not sure what animals are going to come up.
Right.
But there was like a herd of zebra that were by, and
beautiful.
Yeah, it was like incredible to be like with this herd of zebra and like to be able to run after the zebra. And they filmed me running after the zebra in this like white suit. So if you see footage of this short or film that I'm doing where I'm in the white suit, this is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Chasing zebras.
Chasing zebras.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you participate in?
Participate in or do like
or you just devote yourself if you weren't doing what you do now.
Well, I guess there's a correlation between acting and psychology or psychiatry.
It's
something that
I'd
be interested in as well.
Psychology. Okay.
Yeah.
What profession would you absolutely not be associated with?
Interesting enough, I went to, when they have like in high school where you can go be with a professional for a day or something. I went to my dentist's for a day. But I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know I could be.
Not really
in someone's
a fan
mouth
of that.
For the whole.
Right.
For day after day.
Or with feet. Yeah, that's not a good one.
Actually, feet. I didn't do that, but you're right.
Yeah.
Feet would be worse than
that's
mouth.
The worst one. I'm just saying. Okay, heaven exists, and you saw God. What would you like him to say to you?
Where is the light? I would just guide me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And one last question. Next year, what do you see yourself doing?
Why don't we make a plan to meet this time next year and talk about what's transpired?
I love it.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, because season 3 of The Shy will be out.
Yeah.
I already gave you a twist that they said... The creators were thinking there was the most exciting season they're looking forward to. So you can be the judge. We'll come back this time next year.
I love it.
We can replay the tape.
Yes.
And
let's
say,
do it.
Was it or was it not? The audience can
chime in. Yeah.
They can correspond.
Yeah, and you guys decide.
Yeah.
You're right.
And you can decide too because you will have watched it as well.
I definitely will.
Yeah.
I definitely will. I'm excited. I wish you the best in everything that comes
your
way. You deserve it.
Thank you for having me
on the
show.
Stay blessed. Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. My pleasure. Thank you for coming in. It was great talking to you and learning the side of you. It's great.
Cool.
Great to have you inside the Black Actor Studio. So go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you and keep up with you.
Beware of Time is my Instagram and
Twitter,
although I'm not too active on that. But maybe if people reach out, I'll figure out how to work that stuff. But that's where I'm at on Beware of Time.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. And then everyone, please keep a lookout for The Chi Season 3 coming soon. I'm excited.
Well, we still have one. I think when this airs, we'll still have the season finale.
Season finale, yeah.
Tune in for the season finale of The Chi because they took it to a whole other level. For those of you who've been watching, you're going to be blown away by the finale.
I'm excited to see the finale as well.
It's amazing.
I mean, I see a little bit of home every time I watch it. So,
great.
Definitely. The good and the bad. Well, thank you guys for watching. You can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. We'll see you next Thursday, same place, same time, inside the Black Actors Studio. Bye, guys.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.